Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Android Faithful. We are your weekly source for latest news, hardware, apps, and fun discussion about everything under the sun in the world of Android. I am Ron Richards.
I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Huynh Thuy Dao.
Hello, my friends. We got no Michelle tonight because it's his birthday.
So, happy birthday, Michelle.
So everybody should go on every social network in the world and wish Michelle a happy birthday because he's on every social network in the world.
He really is.
I saw him. He was posting away on his birthday, even though we told him to take the whole day off. But we made him skip the show so he can go celebrate. So hopefully he's out there.
Inundate him with birthday love.
But in his place, we are so excited to have on friend of the show, first time on Android Faithful, Mr. Will Saddleberg from Android Police, the phones editor over there. How you doing, Will?
I'm good. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
What's up, Will?
I am no substitute for Michelle.
Well, who is?
I will do my best.
Yeah, exactly. But Will, we're so excited because we had you on the old show, but this is your first time on the new show, and this is this has been several weeks or months in the planning because we timed this right as you were no longer jet lagged after Mobile World Congress.
Yeah, we knew. It was Tuesday the 5th. Will no longer be falling asleep at 9:30 on his couch. So
perfect. Yeah. Well, we're so excited. We're going to get into the post game of Mobile World Congress a little later in the show. So we're so excited to have you on. But before we get started, we got a bunch of news to go through first. But real quick, just want to remind everybody, you're listening to the show, you're watching the show, you are the Android Faithful, you're fantastic. Help spread the word. Tell your friends. Leave a review on Apple or anywhere that leaves reviews for podcasts on Podchaser or any of the stuff like that. Help spread the word about this podcast. You probably have friends who also enjoy it. Make sure they're listening to it. Go get them to subscribe to it. You can go to AndroidFaithful.com. That's got all the links to all the various podcatchers and things like that. Help us spread the word about Android Faithful. Post about it on social media. Say, hey, I love this podcast. Go find it here. Every little bit helps. So thank you, everyone. We appreciate it.
Hey, do you know what an Oppo is? If you don't, then you need to check out Android Faithful.
What is an Oppo?
What is an Oppo? What is a OnePlus? What is a nothing? You might not know, and you should.
And
AndroidFaithful.com.
And if you go on social media and mention us, tag us, because we're on social media. Find us on whatever platform you do and tag us. We'll interact with you. We're trying to get as many people aware of the show as possible. So every little bit helps. So.
Love it.
Indeed.
That's it.
So that said, let's get into it because we got a lot to go through. Jason, you've got the first news story. If we had a news bumper, I would play it. So take it away.
Well, you know how we're all rooting our phones these days because they just don't do enough. And we realize like the only way we can get our phones to be overpowered and to do the things we want them to do is to root and ROM them. Oh, wait a minute. No, that was like 10 years ago.
I was going to say, what year is it, Jason?
But still, people do. And I'm sure I will hear probably from at least a couple of them saying, "Hey, I heard how you like called out like Root and Rom people on the show. That wasn't fair." I have a story for you all, because RCS, you know, the Real Communications Services, is not working apparently on rooted phones using Google Messages, which I don't think is there another messaging client for Android that supports RCS at this point, or is it still just Google Messages? I think it's just Google Messages. I mean,
doesn't aren't there like some like Viber or whatever? Doesn't that support it, but not Google's RCS spec, right?
Right. Yeah, it might be the universal protocol, but not. Right. Not Google's
flavor.
You might be right. Well, if you are running, sorry, I'm going to get this here on the screen here. If you are a root user and you're trying to use Google Messages and you're trying to send an RCS message, you might be having troubles with that. I don't think this is a far and wide thing, because I'm not seeing any definitive declaratives in these articles. Like, as of now, it's not working. But it does sound like a lot of people who have their devices rooted and ROMed are experiencing issues sending anything via RCS. And actually, Michal showed off this action in a video from a Redditor. Do I even have that? No, I don't have that queued up. Yeah. And it basically just kind of shows, like, if you're sending an SMS message straight, you know, no RCS, it sends. The second you type out an RCS message and hit send, it's like it just disappears. It's like you never sent it. It just like it appears in the, you know, the cascade of messages, and then it just disappears. Poof, it's gone. And the reason for this is the Play Integrity API system. It has attestation checks, and basically what it's checking for is if these phones are GMS certified, which is, you know, it doesn't have the clearance to be running Google services. Same thing would happen on a rooted phone when you try and do something like pay with Google Pay or Android Pay or whatever the heck they call it these days. You're not going to be able to get the clearance there either. And so RCS is kind of following into the same bucket. Really has to do, I think, with the fact that Google's RCS is not the free and clear, wide open RCS that I think the standard began as. Google really implemented its own flavor of RCS. And as much as we love it, it's not quite as open as the open version of RCS. So hence we are here.
So I have two questions. One, who is rooting their phone these days and why? And two, how different is this than Apple blocking Beeper Mini? Right? Like, this is Google protecting the service, right? And if the phone isn't certified, they're not going to let the traffic go through.
It's an interesting point. I feel like I have to think about that one a little bit more to know.
I mean, feel free to tell me if I'm wrong, but that's the first thing that jumped out at me.
Yeah, I guess it is pretty similar. I don't know that. I was going to say I don't know that Google is necessarily targeting specifically.
But just in general, the idea of protecting the garden, you know.
Well, at the end of the day, are they protecting the garden? Are they protecting, like, you know, or are they on the hill screaming, like, no, this is how we protect you because it's end-to-end encrypted with our implementation. And the open version is not end-to-end encrypted, you know, so maybe that. I don't know what, I mean, Google isn't, is Google even really talking about this? Oh, yes, they are, actually. The communications manager, Ivy Hunt, said the OS is, quote, ensuring that message issuing and receiving devices are following the operating measures defined by the RCS standard, to which I say, which RCS standard, the open one or Google's one, says in this case, users that are not able to use RCS still have access to SMS and MMS messaging. So you can still send messages that way. You just can't do it this way.
Yeah. I don't know. Will, what do you think? What's your take on this story?
Yeah, I as the Verge coverage points out as well, Google has had issues with spam in RCS. So if that is really why they're tackling this, I don't really know what the relationship is between rooted devices and spam. Like, that they would have to go into that a little bit more. But like, obviously, I'm tempted to take Google's word here that like they've pinpointed that like rooted devices can like blow up spam on RCS, and so they might as well just block it. Because I mean, to your first question, Ron, like, who is rooting their device anymore? Like, this really won't impact that many people, like that many end users. So it's, you know, it's probably them weighing the risk of, you know, pissing people off and being like, well, like 0.01% of Android users are rooted anymore, so like whatever, just do it, or you know, whatever the actual stat is.
Right.
I just wonder if it's just a side effect of, as Michelle mentioned, the GMS certification, Google Mobile Services certification, which is like the certification that OEMs have to pass in order for you to be able to have like Gmail and other like, you know, very Google proprietary services. And not that it's like intentionally targeting rooted phones or that rooted phones are a problem, but just because of the nature of how rooted phones are and jailbreaking phones that you... And again, this is like what Michelle noted in his post, is that it's just that because the rooted or custom ROMs don't have that, you kind of just basically get excluded, not intentionally, but just because you're not an official, you know, an officially cleared OS or something like that. And because of GMS certification is, or because of all that, Play Integrity is catching it. I don't know.
But it used to work.
Maybe they changed something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They made a
decision that changed things, whether that was intentional or not.
Don't get me wrong. I'm being devil's advocate by making the Apple beeper, you know, kind of point. I get why they would do this. I mean, a rooted and a ROM, you can't police that device, right? You don't know what it's not following the certification. It's not doing all this sort of stuff. In order to play, you need to have these sort of things checked off. And if that doesn't check off, then you don't get in. Like, I get it. In terms of, you know, especially with their position on user safety. I don't know. I just, if you're a rooted ROMed person, you'd probably be frustrated. And is there a path?
For sure.
Is there a path for you to get onto that track would be the next question. But again, Will, to your point, how many people are doing that these days? Like, seriously, so.
Not a lot.
What a blast from the past. Right?
I mean, you know, even back in the day, it wasn't a lot. Back when lots of people, in air quotes, were rooting and ROMing their phones.
One of them.
You were one of them. Well, yes, of course I was. But there was still a very small percentage of any of the users of Android.
Were you flashing your device daily at one point?
Oh, there were certainly times where I was flashing, like not like every day for an entire year, but there were times where I'd like flash a ROM and then the next day I'd be like, nah, I don't like that one. What's a new one?
Oh,
and
then
that night I'd flash another one. And you know what I mean? Absolutely.
That was like you with ROMs was like me with keyboards back in the day. Remember that? Oh, man.
At a certain point, though, it was just like
keyboards and launchers.
Right? Yeah, it was just kind of a pain in the butt. Like, do I really enjoy sitting here for 3 hours setting this up? For a while, I did. And at a certain point, I was like, I just want my phone to work and be neat, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
It just feels like Android, more of the Android growing up and getting a job or having a job.
Yeah, totally.
And having to wear a suit or business casual to work.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, like, with root access, you get, like, so yeah, I think something is like that having root access to the phone gives you access to privileged systems and services on the phone. And I mean, I think most people who are just enthusiasts aren't going to do anything nefarious, but there are a lot of issues when you gain privileged access to a phone that I guess, I suppose most of the time, and I'm not an expert, this is not my field of expertise, but it feels like when you can kind of get privileged access to things you're normally not supposed to as a user on a phone, nefarious things can happen. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily like protecting the user from themselves, but maybe the user from other users, interlopers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, when you said it's kind of like growing up and getting a job and wearing business casual, I feel like at Google, it's all business every day, right? And every month there's a new drop. Right?
There is a new drop, but this one isn't just, you know, a fancy drop for those folks that are on the latest and greatest new things, although there is nothing wrong with Pixel 8 and Pixel 8 Pro. But if you're on an older phone and we're feeling left out with all these, you know, different features that we've been talking about that only come to the newest phones, you might be in luck. Because this is a Pixel drop for, how can we say this? The more, I don't know, it's like a fine wine for some way. It's not even that
the
old
aged,
phones.
The aged,
the well-loved, the well-used phones. There's basically just a bunch of wonderful Pixel features coming to some of the other devices, Pixel 7s, Pixel 6s, Pixel Folds. And a lot of them are really kind of worth talking about. For example, and this is like an app special, but if you were an Instagram user still, they have actually enabled capture and share support for 10-bit HDR video directly in Reels, as well as the ability to upload and support Ultra HDR. Now, this is going to be on your Pixel 7s, Pixel 8s, and Pixel Fold. So, hey! Cool. For me. And if you were missing out on Circle to Search, which I guess many of us were after all the hype from Samsung Galaxy Unpacked and having the Pixel 8s get it, well, guess what? If you're on a Pixel 7, you're in luck because you'll be getting Circle to Search soon. I bugged my husband about this because he has a Pixel 7. Like, oh, baby, you got to try Circle to Search. It's coming out soon.
Can I interject here? I'm on a Pixel 8 Pro and I still have yet to get Circle to Search.
Oh, really?
Are you serious?
Really?
It's not on my phone.
And you're up. Sorry,
I'm up to date. Like come on, Wynn. I just checked earlier. System is completely up to date. It is not. I go through all the how to enable circle search gesture. It's not there. And even on my phone, also it says nearby share is still called quick share in settings. So, like, I don't know if I'm behind on a Play Services update.
Quick share is the name.
Is the name or is near? Oh, okay. Is nearby
right.
Share.
Nearby
name?
Share was the old one.
Oh, okay. So it says quick share.
How not confusing that name change was.
Yeah. I know. Always.
I will say though that my husband has Gesture Nav enabled, and he did. So when I told him about it, he looked up and he was like, 9to5 Google has an article that says enabling Circle to Search from the Gesture Nav is very difficult. So I kind of just left it at that. So maybe that's also a thing that
I have Gesture Nav on. I have Gesture
just
Nav.
Tap and hold.
I mean,
the,
I believe you that
pill.
You maybe don't literally don't have like the update, but
yeah, I think I don't have it, but anyway, I don't want the
interesting.
Know, but apparently,
I'm really
also
surprised
just,
that you don't run,
yeah, so do I. Yeah, I don't know. So,
I don't know. Did you peeve someone off on the update?
Yeah,
I don't know. That's not a thing, but what did you do? Okay, so if you can't get Circle to Search, if you like Call Screen, I'm pretty sure everybody here likes Call Screen. There are a couple new features for Call Screen from the Pixel 6 up and the Pixel Fold. You have a couple new chips now when you have the Call Screening UI experience up, where if you know the person that is being call screened just isn't answering, you actually have a little chip that can have the responding, you know, voice say hello to try to get them to answer, and even, you know, have a button to say, hey, hang on if you are just not able to pick up the call once you've decided it's legitimate. So there's that for all you call screen lovers, a little bit more for you. And yeah, there's just a lot. So this is one of those things where now we're talking about a bunch of features that are available, I think, on 5A Plus, and all of these things need like a table to let you know which specific version and device you have these on. But hey, give it a shot. Try it. Maybe you'll be like Ron and just be sad. I'm so sorry, Ron. Or maybe you'll be lucky and have things like single app cast sharing, which is when you are trying to share your screen. And you don't always want to share the entire window. Well, now you can just like screen share just a single app, kind of like you can do on your desktop with most, call software now. Now you can do it on your tablets and your phones too. Question mark? Yeah, on your phones too, on your Pixel 5a and above. Pixel 5a above, Fold and tablets are also getting kind of better like history, like device history with FastPair. FastPair previous pairings will now be kind of like propagated to like your new devices, so you don't have to, you know, go through the as nice as FastPair is, we'd like to make it even faster pair. And that will remember previous devices that you had, so you don't have to kind of go through the connection process
eventually,
all from scratch on your device.
Eventually, Google will name it Fastest Pair.
Fastest Pair. Quick Pair. It will be Quick Pair.
None
quick
more faster pair. Pair.
The quickest of quick share.
Coupling. Device pair. Coupling.
Oh. Yeah.
Then G-Pair. And G-Pair. Then Google Pair. And
Google,
then-
pair. And Google Android Pair.
Oh, God.
And hey, if you were a Google Docs person, you like to collaborate and you like, you know, kind of miss the old school, just writing notes on someone's documents to kind of annotate things. If you have Google Docs, you don't need a stylus. You can now use your finger to, mark up, annotate, draw notes on Google Docs from your Pixel tablet. Isn't that fun? I think it's also I think this is also on 5A Plus and Fold as well. I need a table.
Who knows?
They started to kind of drop off, telling us what was available on what devices. So I don't know. Just try it out. Maybe you're lucky and you'll have this feature. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be sound so mean about it, but it's a little unclear sometimes. But that is available at least on the tablet. And one special tablet feature, which I think we kind of talked about as a leaky peaky, but is now out of AB, presumably feature flagging, and is now fully released on your Google Pixel tablets, is the new Gboard voice toolbar, which tries to make like voice typing and other voice interactions a little bit easier to use on your tablet, and giving you back a lot more space if you actually are using your voice to input into chat or something. So yeah, there is your Google drop, bringing all the goodies to everybody else who doesn't have a Pixel 8 or Pixel 8 Pro.
I think it's nice that they're doing this, right?
It's good. They feel like they should do this. It's like a should thing.
in the scope of Pixel feature drops, is this a good one? I feel like we had like a spectacular one like the last time.
Yeah.
And I think probably you encounter a challenge following up like a really, really great something with anything. Right. So
what's the problem with the monthly regime that they have on? That's why I like seeing this focused on not the most current phones. I think it's kind of a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, totally. Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. How would you rate this drop compared to other ones?
I mean, to your point, it's a little, if you have the latest hardware, it's a little hard to be excited about this. I do agree. I have the table in front of me for which feature is coming to which Pixel, and it's still confusing. And I would
could
like
you start
to see
from the top
better
and break it down for it. No, I'm just kidding.
it would take the rest of the show.
Yes, exactly.
The conversation around Android fragmentation, I feel like, kind of slowly quieted down over the last several years. And now I just feel like we need to have a talk about Pixel fragmentation, which is
fair.
Funny because now I have to write this. It's nice. Funny.
You're welcome.
It's exactly.
We want credit, Will.
absolutely.
Just, you know what, run this segment through an LLM and then just you've got your article.
You can embed it if you want. That's all you have permission. Yeah.
I just think that, like, you know, you compare this to Apple is the closest comparison, and like, you know, the only devices that don't get the latest features, and you'll find the list of footnotes on the iOS page at the bottom of it, but of, you know, oh, the iPhone 12 doesn't get this. But at that point, you're talking about, you know, half a decade old hardware, and not like the Pixel Fold still doesn't have circle to search. Well, why? It's less than a year old. It's an $1,800 phone. There's no successor to it. It's its own product category. Why isn't it there? Like I it's a frustrating thing where there's no reason for us to have to refer to a chart on what's getting what. Like, all of this stuff, or a lot of this stuff, could run on back to, you know, the Pixel 6, or even some of it like is going to the Pixel 5a. And I would want to see them kind of get better at this, because otherwise I don't know how we take how we take Google's 7-year software update policy seriously. If it's like, okay, sure, I'm running Android 19, but there's nothing on it. It's just like a software bump. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I would push back a little bit though and say like on the Apple side, you know, the iOS devices, the iPhone devices last a long time, but especially when they get older, you're not getting every single
feature.
It's
a fine line.
You know what I mean?
You're not. There is kind of a cutoff.
That
list of footnotes gets long, and it's probably just as complicated as this table, but it is still older hardware than the Pixel Fold or the Pixel 7A.
That's actually, I'm so happy you said that, because yes, I have a Pixel Fold. It's my daily driver. Why don't I get these things?
Like, exactly.
It's a premier phone.
Well, that's weird.
That's a high level premier phone. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Why can't I have circle to search? It's ridiculous. Like, look at all the real estate I have to circle. Like, come on, Google. Like, come on. I could test the crap out of this feature.
It actually really makes me wonder, like, what is it about circle to search that's hard to implement? You know what I mean? Like, what exactly is it? Like, I realize it's using AI, but I mean, so many other features do. And that's so weird that Pixel Fold
is there too much
that
screen to search? Is that what it is, maybe? Or
all I can think is, like, maybe is there some weird exclusivity agreement that they made with Samsung, and that they just the loopholes were all sewed up minus the Pixel That's 8. Also, by the way, I'm so sorry. I somehow deleted the entire block about Pixel Watch features. By the way, if you have a Pixel Watch 1, you're going to get auto stop and auto start workout detection along with auto pause. You're going to get the Fitbit Relax app, and you're going to get both pace tracking, which is kind of like little haptics and voice cues when you're slowing, when you're taking a run. Ron, if you're not making your pace, you're if you had a Pixel Watch 1, I know you have Pixel Watch 2. If you had a Pixel Watch 1, it will now, you know, yell at you in the way that your Pixel Watch 2 does. And similarly for heart rate tracking, if you're kind of like heart rate zone targeting, you'll have that now in your Pixel Watch 1. I am so sorry. I somehow deleted that out of my notes, and I was like, something else is missing. Well, there you go. Pixel Watch 1 fans, you get some cool stuff too. But neither here nor there. Fragmentation still. Pixel fragmentation is,
Will, I want you to write that article.
I think I have to now. I think if my boss hears that I said that, he's going to make me do it.
I mean, but it's true though, because it's true.
You open your mouth.
And I honestly think that, that point that you made about, you know, holding Google to their 7 year kind of thing, I just want to see consistency, right? Exactly. That was my complaint about the Pixel drops from a year ago. Was like they come out with the Pixel, like monthly Pixel drops, and then you just quietly don't hear, like by May or June you stop hearing about the Pixel drops, and then IO happens, and it's the next version of Android, it's the next hardware. Like they're not monthly, they haven't been monthly Pixel drops. I'm sure they will point to the updates they've made and stuff like that, but like the meaty Pixel drop, Jason, that you were referring to, they don't do that on a monthly basis because eventually you run out of stuff, and that's why setting the bar too high is dangerous, right? And so
I would rather a Pixel drop not be as frequent and be more meaningful, I think, is kind of my preference.
Right.
If they were to do it once a quarter, which honestly, that's what I thought a Pixel drop was like once every 3 months or something like that. But if they were to
do it a
little bit...
They've been screwing with it, though. They just did one like a month ago.
Yeah, that's true. They have been kind
of out of the blue
around with it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it means less of them, but it doesn't feel like a... You know, we've talked about it on the show before. All right. Hey, any departments here at Google, you got anything you're working on? Yes, that one. Okay, we'll include that. Sure.
Right.
What you got? Yeah, I don't know. That's not quite okay. Whatever, we'll throw that in there too.
I like that Jason just improv the product management meeting at Google live on the show. That was fantastic. So, that's really what it's like in Mountain View, by the way. You
know, yes. Google campus is one bedroom.
Exactly.
That everybody works in. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I mean, this is all relevant because speaking of Pixel phones and Pixel features and things like that, it's a bummer Michelle's not here. It's because it's his birthday, and this would have been a great gift for him because he really wants satellite service on these phones. We are all still waiting for satellite SOS to come to Pixel phones, as promised, for Android 14 to come to Android phones at all. A recent update to the adaptive connectivity services shows it's coming to Pixel phones sometime soon, and the feature will enable sending messages to emergency services via satellite when mobile network and Wi-Fi are unavailable. The settings page will be located at Settings, Safety and Emergency, Satellite SOS, and it could come to more than just Pixel phones, but right now it just indicates that it's coming to Pixel phones at some point as we inch closer to a world where our phones are connected to satellites, which blows my mind. This is a feature that when it goes out, I bet you Jason is going to be in a Pixel drop, right? Like this is
imagine so. And this would be a pretty big feature to come to a Pixel drop like that.
So
I think this will be neat.
Cool. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the news, except
Jason, we have our patron pick. That's right. If you are a supporter of Android Faithful on our Patreon at patreon.com/AndroidFaithful, you have the opportunity each week to pick from a carousel of story options that we might talk about if it gets the most votes. And we usually put 3 stories up for vote, give our patrons, our amazing patrons, the opportunity to vote on them. This week, let's see here. We have, I'm juggling a lot of things.
And we also a reason to join Patreon to vote in this, because you also get to see the listener.
Oops, that's wrong.
That's the wrong one. The listener submitted Bug Droid reading the news. And this week it comes from listener William Steele, who gives us a very dapper bug droid listening very to a podcast while reading the newspaper. It's a bug droid wearing the suit. This was generated with Microsoft Copilot, by the way.
That's a solid generation. I like it. Really I like good. It very good.
Like a Remington Steele android, like that old show.
That's nice Remington Steele. Good one. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Very solid picture here. And right at the bottom of the voting count was Google's Photosphere is still present on older Pixels. That got 16% of the vote. Second place was Google Contacts minor UI revamp and new feature to view messages on widgets. Y'all didn't care that much about that. That was 19%. The majority, vast majority, 65% voted on the story that we have here, which is about Google, not that one. We already talked about that one. Sorry, I've got a few things out of order here. Google making talking more fun, as the blog post says here, with sound reactions and effects. And do we get to, can I like play some of these things? Oh, you know what? I can only do that if I'm sharing.
Right,
here,
yeah.
Ron.
I don't think you want to, though. Okay. Right, I'll try here.
I don't know.
Go over them. I'll see if I can get it to work. But yeah.
All right. Well, it's fine if we don't. But basically, sound reactions. Is this just going to be like kind of like a soundboard integrated with Android? Or like what exactly is... audio emojis.
This is wild. So these links, by the way, Jason, are links to the OGG files that exist in the code. So I actually don't know if I can play those on the show or not. But
so instead of like visual emojis, it's going to be like audio emojis. So
there's also an animation like in Google Messages, because if you scroll down, you could see that's the animation. The drum roll animation is a drum and a chatting. Teeth chattering guy coming out of it.
So I have to be looking at my phone when I'm taking a call.
Yeah.
This is so weird.
Yeah, this is weird.
What's happening, you guys?
I don't know. I'm so confused.
Why
by
does Google
this?
Care about making us make phone calls? Why are they trying to make us make phone calls?
Yeah, it's
this
true.
Is so weird. What can I play OGG with? QuickTime.
Yeah, I know. I was going to dive in, and I was like, you know what? This is probably a wormhole that's not worth going down.
Yeah, no, it's not.
But this is part of the Google phone beta, by the way. If you combine
AI and AI listens to the conversations and can accurately do this, like the sad trombone or the applause or whatever, and it turns your phone call into the Z100 Morning Zoo kind of experience, I will make more phone calls. Then if I'm on hold with a customer service agent who's like, oh, I was able to change that flight for you, and it goes ta-da, you know, like it's,
oh my goodness,
this is very weird. This is very,
I want a canned laugh track. I want AI to make me feel like I'm funny, so that when I make a joke, regardless of whether the person I made the joke to laughs, I want the canned laugh track like in Full House or something.
It's AI that analyzes the person you're talking to understand what their laugh would sound like. So if they don't laugh at your joke, then they laugh anyways because the system just makes it play.
Yeah.
See? There's a lot of ways you can go down this road.
So I was a little concerned about the fact that the OGG files that this blog post provided were sad, applause, party popper, laugh, drum roll, and poop.
Uh-huh.
And that was the one I was worried about, because really, what are you know, how is that going to work? And I pulled up VLC, and I can't play audio, can I hear? But sadly, it is, I don't know if you guys can hear this.
No.
It's a farting noise, unfortunately. I don't want that on my phone. What? I'm sorry. Remember those apps? Do you remember all the apps?
The sound apps,
right? Oh, man.
Push the button to play the sound effect and fart and all
time
that
is a
stuff.
Flat circle, y'all. Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, patrons, you asked for it.
I found a web-based OGG player. If this works, this will be great. Let's see.
Just remember, in StreamYard, you got to share.
Oh, yeah, I got you. I'm on it.
Got it.
There you go.
Ron knows.
I got to share.
Ron knows
tab,
what he's
right?
doing here.
Here we go.
It's
okay.
All in the pursuit.
All right, you ready? This is all. Okay, so this is the applause one. as we watch it upload. There you go. Did you hear that?
Yes, did hear that.
Right. So you would hear that when something good happened. Or if for some reason something bad happened, you would hear this.
Oh my goodness, really?
Oh my God. That's an extra, slightly extra gross one.
That code exists on the phone somewhere.
You know, what's
I'm actually really surprised that Google would put that in there, to be honest.
That was in a project management. Someone had a ticket that said, hey, like Fred, implement a fart noise.
Yeah. Oh man.
And that was probably Fred doing the hands on the face thing.
Yeah. Yep. And he had to code that in there, and then he went home and said, what was my life?
Oh, boy. I mean, well,
anyway.
It really makes you wonder.
I mean, this is a beta, right?
So who knows if it's actually going to get out or not, right? Here's one more just to... This is the drum roll. So let's see. Ready?
Yes. Ready.
A rim shot.
Okay.
Rim shot.
Yeah.
I just don't know that I'm ready for this.
So here's the question. If you're on the phone with somebody and it's enough to like, you want to tell a joke and then also play this rim shot, like the timing of being on a phone call and it just doesn't work at all. Let's move on. This is awful. So
no, I'm super curious about this. So there's something doesn't feel right about this.
Yeah.
It's very, very bizarre.
Not good.
Anyways, you asked for it, patrons. That was because of you, that segment. So yes, and I'm talking to you, Chris Pictor from the UK, Roger Martin from Arizona, David Arnold. Yeah, I'm calling you out from Indiana. That's right. The three of you and so many of your peers in the Patreon at patreon.com/AndroidFaithful made that segment happen. And you can make another segment like it happen next week. You just got to be a patron. patreon.com/AndroidFaithful. You can make us talk about stories that involve farts.
Will, we're sorry. We really apologize. Yes. This is not normal.
You didn't know what you were signing. I just don't know how to follow it.
I don't know how we're going to segue.
Talk about Hamon. That's how you follow
it. Exactly. No. We don't want to associate Hamon and farts. Come on, man. No.
All right. We will talk about it with Will in a second.
All right. Let's get into hardware.
Okay, well, from that, like, I don't even know what to do right now. Well, unlike the rest of us schmucks who are sitting here wondering how fart sounds get into our Google dialer, you actually got to go to Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, in all of the talking that we've done about Mobile World Congress, it is inevitable that we talked about a lot of the kind of more wild and fantastical, you know, products and demos that... our good friends of the show and fam got to see there. Even like things like there apparently was a Lenovo transparent laptop, not quite our area, but obviously something that had a lot of attention. We could not help but talk about the Motorola bendable phone and all kinds of other things. And I really liked that you had a little bit of a different take on kind of where are we going with all this? Where is Mobile World Congress going with all this? And I don't know, just go ahead and like, just kind of walk us through your thoughts and feelings as you're kind of seeing this interesting trend or maybe this interesting, trends with what companies are doing at Mobile World Congress.
Yeah. So this was my second MWC, and I basically, last year's big splash, right, was the Motorola Riser, right, which I spent the entire show calling the Rizzer before I realized it was making a Rise joke, and I didn't get it, and I said it to so many people.
I said it in Rizzer in my head.
Rizzer.
I hadn't said it out loud until we recorded the AP podcast last year, and then like 30 minutes before I was like, oh my God, it's Riser. I hadn't said it out loud. Anyway, neither here nor there. So I think, but that phone got a lot of publicity, and rightfully so. It's really cool. They had it again this year. They had it next to the bendable, and I think not just Motorola, but everyone kind of wanted to follow their lead in terms of having some sort of futuristic concept. So the bendable, right, which Shout out to Nick Gray at Fandroid. I think I put this in one of my pieces too on it, who reminded me while we were getting the hands on that like they had this in 2016 and I had just completely forgotten, but like they had, you know, obviously it's got an updated design, but they had the same like bendable attach it to your wrist like demo, you know, 8 years ago, and they basically, I don't want to say they dug it out of a drawer, but they kind of dug it out of a drawer and were like, look, it's back. You know, so you've got that, you've got the Lenovo transparent laptop, which like Lenovo and Motorola were sharing a space at MWC, so it was like literally go in the basement, you can see the laptop, go upstairs and you can see the phone. Like truly they were the teams were like right next to each other. Techno, who sponsored my trip to MWC, it's why I got to go. They had a rollable, although it was a different shape than the Motorola one from a year ago. Samsung Display, which is like technically its own company away from Samsung, always has concepts. I wrote in a whole article about the concept displays they had at CES. They had even more this time, including their own bendable that I would have loved to try. Someone broke it before I got there.
Oh, geez.
They like slap banded it on their wrist.
A slap bracelet.
Really? They fully slap bracelet it. It's not a verb. But yeah, they did that.
It is now.
And yeah, it is now. But like to see, you know, oh, will it wrap? Because it was like a different build than the Razer one or the Motorola one, I should say. And so it wasn't working anymore by the time I got to it. And I was talking to my boss and we were talking about the show and I went back and looked at like what was announced, you know, a decade ago. Right. So what was at MWC 2014? And it's like, you know, less, there were a couple concept products, but it was like the Galaxy S5 was announced there. Right. Like Nokia's first Android phone, like hot off being purchased by Microsoft. Like you had like Project Tango, which was Google's like AR thing, you know, a decade ago. All sorts of hard, like HTC held the 1M8, but they announced some Desire models, like all of this stuff, right? Like there were new wearables and I can't LG. I can't forget LG. LG had the G Pro 2, like all sorts of stuff that you would eventually be able to buy like on store shelves. And it's not to say that like concepts aren't cool, but at a certain point when you've seen your fifth concept of the show, you're like, okay, but what do you want me to take away from this? You know, the Riser in particular a year ago, I thought was like, okay, this is a phone that grows into like a standard size, but then can shrink down into something that I think we're all a little nostalgic for, like a smaller form factor we're all nostalgic for. And I didn't see that this year, right? Like Motorola's big selling point on like the idea of a bendable phone was that you could attach it to a bracelet that you just, I guess, wear all the time, like, and it doesn't do anything when you don't have the phone on, but you could do that. And then they were like, oh, you can go for a run. And I was like, okay, putting aside the fact that I don't know if I trust the magnets in this bracelet to hold the phone for a full run, like putting that aside, what does that get me that like my smartwatch doesn't, right? Like it's, I'm going to view Strava on a bigger screen, I guess, but that's about it. And otherwise, like, you know, it's heavier. It's like it's more dangerous. It's stuff like that where I'm like, it does feel a little bit like everyone's just building things to build things. And that's exciting and it's cool. And I'm not trying to take away from that. Like all of the stuff I held was very cool. The transparent laptop, like very impressive. Even just seeing Microsoft Paint with like a clear background, it's just neat. But I would like to see something a little more concrete, a little more, where are we going with this?
Does it feel like, I mean, I think we talked about this, and especially like when we were looking at all these kind of crazy prototypes and we wondered out loud, is this just, you know, obviously like, and we've talked about this for a few years, that smartphones are kind of getting not boring, but that there's very little, you know, mind blowing advancement. There's not like a, you know, one more thing moment. Rarely these days. And even like foldables and flippables are great, but there's nothing like kind of like industry shaking. And do you think there's any merit to, you know, maybe trying to give companies credit in that, okay, maybe they want to balance risk but also kind of throw, you know, swinging for the fences and just throwing out concepts. Is there any merit, do you think, to them just getting feedback, be like, hey, here's a bunch of crazy ass ideas. What are people responding to? Do you think there's any merit in that? Or do you think this is really just kind of a little bit too hand wavy, wishy washy? Like, do you feel like that your feedback, your impressions, your interest is going to drive anything? Or does it just, like, as you said, is it just purely just what are we doing?
So I would like to think so, but in all of my hands-ons, really, it's never been about like, let's get feedback, you know, like I said, they had the riser there again, right next to the bendable, and like, it was unchanged down to the plastic case that they used to keep it safe. Like they hadn't done anything on it in a year. And, you know, it's one thing if you're talking about new phones, but like, it's a prototype, like they can change the prototype in a year and they hadn't. You know, it's the same with like Samsung Display's concepts. Like a lot of times, like you can dig through the archives and they very often don't, you know, appear anywhere. I think it's an issue that for me, these sorts of experimental form factors, this sort of unique offerings that you can get only on Android, right, is like what is going to, like, I don't want to say save this platform because that sounds too dire, but like certainly get it back to a place where it's not just like, oh yeah, that still exists to like the vast majority of like mobile people, particularly in the US, which is like the market that I'm focused on covering. Like I I've written about this and Jason has had me on other podcasts to talk about it, but like the amount of like teenagers who have just like, it's like 90% of teenagers are on iOS at this point. And I think that like stuff like this, where like if they, you know, a company like Motorola will take the plunge and like be like, you know what, like actually we're gonna go out there, we're gonna try to sell this bendable, it's $1,000 or however much it is, and like, you know, we're going to establish ourselves as like a fun, you know, a fun company, like that we're not like trying to just do like the standard slab, you know, iPhone or whatever. Like I think that energy needs to be there to kind of get interest back up, especially among younger users. This is all anecdotal, but I'm 28. Most of my friends are, you know, let's say 25 to 30. And like the one, it's not a particular phone, but the one form factor that like all of them, cause they all have iPhones, the one that like really wins them over is clamshell phones. Like they're always like, oh, like I would maybe consider switching to that. And I think there's an in there that at the same time, like none of these companies are particularly brave enough to like fully like jump in. Like even Samsung, like 5 years ago, and I wrote a little bit about this too, when I saw the Z Fold 6 leaks, like they felt really ready to kind of push forward on this hardware innovation, right? Like the first Fold was 5 years ago now.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, like the Fold 6, it's a little wider than the Fold 5. Like it's still the thickest foldable basically at this point, right? But without the battery to back it up really. And at least if the, you know, leaks are to be believed, and the Flip 6 leak looks identical to the Flip 5. There's a stagnation in changing the hardware that I worry will essentially make these products not as exciting.
Isn't that the history repeating itself of Android, right? Because like and Jason, we've been doing a show like this for 13 years, right? How many years? Like we go through this phase of like burst of excitement, difference, and then years of stagnation. And then burst of change or difference or different approach, and then years of sameness and copying and all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, Will, I was going to say to you, is like, I feel like the folding phones were the prototype 6, 7 years ago, and we're like, folding phones are coming, and now they're here. And I guess something must happen in the supply chain or in some reason why they can't make big deviations. But you do have companies like we were talking before the show, like Tecmo. Tecno, and what were the phones that we were talking last week with the music phone? Who had that? ZTE, right? I feel like some companies are trying, right? I mean,
well, so this is the other issue, and it kind of ties back into why I offhandedly was like the U.S. market that I mostly focus on, which is like there is excitement in mobile on a global scale, right? Like there are lots of smartphones that I think, even like just slab smartphones that I think are interesting, particularly when it comes to the camera. You know, we still don't have a phone in the US that you can buy officially with a 1-inch sensor. And like, that's been a standard thing on Android flagships for like 2 or 3 years now, like on a global scale. You know, so to me, if companies like Samsung aren't going to push forward heavily on, you know, I'm back on a S24 Ultra and I like it, but if they're not going to push forward on like making a big deal of like why anyone should switch to it, I would want them to kind of dive headfirst into the prototypes that they're all very proud of and be like, no, like you did it once with foldables, do it again, you know, establish yourself as a leader, and then point at Apple, which is the competitor here, and be like, well, they're stuck in their old ways. Like, we're pushing forward on what we think the future of mobile technology is, and we think it's like, we don't think it's this like rigid form factor that like you put in your back pocket because it's too big for your front pocket now. Like it's something completely different. And I'm fine with, you know, concept phones if I think that they're going to, you know, eventually become something of a reality, but I haven't seen the evidence there so far.
I know we're running long, but I kind of want to go back to that, because like I think you also made a good point in the article about how, you know, way back when MWC was really where Samsung would do announcements like Galaxy Unpacked, but now they're doing their own, you know, announcement. It feels like, you know, like we've talked about like every single company we talk about, like Xiaomi, ZTE, they kind of now have their own, you know, online, very specific, their own brand events. And is that just, I don't know, is that just like, it kind of reminds me of E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, where it used to be a big deal and now it kind of died because it's Sony and all the big companies are kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Is that just where this is going to go? And is that why in part maybe NYC is all prototypes, because people like the companies want to control or spotlight their actual tactile substantiated products, not their vaporware. I don't know. Is it going to get any better, or is this just everyone's going to do their own press conference?
No, I think everyone's going to do their own press conference, and some of them will do it from MWC, and some of them like Samsung won't and don't have to. I would say, you know, the bright side, right, is that unlike E3, where when Sony pulled out or you know, we're kind of in the phase where it's like 10 years ago E3, where Nintendo was starting to do their like digital events. If we're going to continue this analogy, they're digital events, but they were still on the show floor. Like Samsung is on the show floor. Mm-hmm. Google still has Android Alley, right, that you can wander and you can go find all your free pins, right? Like that's all still there. It's just that like the announcements aren't there, right? So Samsung's entire booth is set up to show off, you know, everything they've announced over the last 3 months. You know, stuff like that, where it's you know, Google will announce some like software stuff for Android and show that off at the booth. But like I will, you know, their booth was smaller than it was at CES. And I would say the announcements they had were smaller than what they had at CES and so on. And obviously the big stuff they're saving for IO, which is 2-ish months away at this point. So in fact, we should get an invite like any day now, which is crazy. But
I need to know those dates.
Cross fingers.
I know. I looked recently and I was like, oh, it was like early March last year. Okay. Like it should be sometime soon.
I'm getting nervous.
I don't know. I think, you know, there will always be enough small players for something like MWC to continue existing. But Samsung wants to be there to make an impact and show that they're like the dominating factor that they are. But it's certainly like a very different show than it was 10 years ago.
Well, I do wonder, and I want to transition to our next topic, because which is still on Mobile World Congress, but is there space for an event like this to let other folks shine other than the big hitters, right? Other than the Samsungs and things like that. And what caught my eye as we were prepping for the show, and I was like, all right, well, what was the stuff that was happening at MWC that we didn't talk about that was kind of under the radar? And there was a Wired article that caught my eye that was focused around AI, you know, drink, right? You know, the premise of this was like, these are companies that have a plan to kill apps, right? And it was basically saying how, you know, with the emergence of AI, how is it being integrated into phones? And it really, you know, it mentioned the Rabbit R1, which we saw at CES, and that got announced as, you know, kind of a handheld device. But it was a bunch of devices that I hadn't heard of. And so, Will, I was curious to see if you had seen these or got your hands on them. But, you know, so Deutsche Telekom and T-Mobile, I believe, teamed up, and they have a concept smartphone featuring an LLM that will replace apps on the phone and acts as a concierge to what the user wants, and it will generate interfaces on the fly based on that request. The Humane AI Pin was at the show, and I saw friends of the show, Miriam and Michael Fisher, were posted videos of them using it. The laser projector on the Humane AI Pin, that looked like the real deal, man. That looked like it was actually something that could be real. And then the other one, which cracked me up gave me a headache from an SEO standpoint, but a Lithuanian company is building a phone called A Phone, A Friend. Which, by the way, if you Google a phone, a friend, all you get are Who Wants to Be a Millionaire websites about phoning a friend.
Yeah.
But,
but
this one is interesting because they're building a smartphone that acts as a personal assistant via AI. It's going to be based on Android. It will have an app mode to access your favorite apps, but the idea, and right now this design is just a concept, Will, and go back to your point of just showing a concepts. But the idea of that, you know, this little device will remind you of things or play videos for you or show, you know, like becomes a full screen photo scrolling kind of thing when you want to do it. It'll know what you want to do, yada, yada. Again,
it has a keychain.
Yeah. And it's just a concept, but they do have an app called a Radio Friend that delivers news to you in the voice you choose. So did you get to see, did you check out any of these companies or anything going on there?
I didn't get a hands-on with Humane. They were at like Qualcomm's booth. And so I was there for a little bit. So I saw a bunch of people wearing them and trying them out. I didn't get my own hands on it. And then, The T-Mobile, the Deutsche Telekom concept phone. I again didn't try, but we have a whole hands on at the site. Manuel, I always screw up Manuel's last name. I'm so sorry, Manuel. Fono he wrote an entire hands on about the ups and downs of using this like AI concept phone, because it's so weird, because it's like, oh, like we don't want you to use apps, but we're just going to kind of do the apps in the background. Like it is, you know, it is very much one of these like early AI devices where you look at it and you're like, so I'm just kind of using apps, but not using apps. And they're like, yeah, exactly. And it's like, okay, well, like I don't, you know, we're getting there. It's early steps, right? Yeah. Like we gotta maybe hit some speed bumps before, because you know, you look at this stuff and you're like, I'm pretty sure I can order an Uber faster than this. But
I could see this totally being the way it goes, though, because it reminds me a lot of when Google Assistant was still a thing and devs still had kind of like ways to, you know, provide functionality to Google Assistant. So I don't apps will go away in that they'll be self-contained, you know, interfaces in themselves, which makes me sad because I'm a UI specialist, but that's here or there. But what matters will be the service and the function, like the underlying functionality that can tap into this conversational, you know, more natural interface. I don't think apps are going away. They'll just look very different. It really already does remind me of how we used to be able to tap into Assistant when that was a thing, or with Action. So makes a lot of sense to me. I'm not mad at it. Although
I'm not either. I actually think it's interesting because it kind of goes back to the concept phone stuff, which is like, it does feel like everyone is kind of looking at their phone and being like, I don't know if I like where we ended up. Like, let's try thinking about, you know, this in a different way, whether it's on a hardware level and it's like, we want it to wrap around your wrist, or it's a software level and we're like, we want, you know, apps to go away and for the phone to just know what you need at all times. Like, I do think it's really interesting that everyone is kind of being like, okay, maybe something else, but like no one has like fully locked into what that's going to look like.
Yeah, it's really kind of like a gold rush mentality right now. Like, okay, AI is a huge thing. Everybody's really excited about it. You know, and I think it also really helps that like Johnny Ive, you know, and this was a rumor from like, I don't know, a year and a half ago. I think that Johnny Ive was partnering up with OpenAI to create some sort of mobile device that was AI centric, you know, that was different than a smartphone. And I'm not saying that's the reason why all this other stuff is happening, but that's certainly very validating to hear that rumor, whether it's true or not. And so everybody wants to be in on that. And everybody wants to know, like, well, then what is a future where smartphones are not as app focused? And instead, it's really a digital assistant or personal assistant that I just ask questions with my normal words, no syntax, and it knows exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And so they're all, all kind of jostling around trying to figure out what that looks like.
And so will we look back at 2024 MWC as the moment in 2015 when Samsung had a foldable prototype at MWC, right? You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's the era that we're in right now for all this stuff.
It's early. Yeah. I mean, it's first inning, right? But it's,
Yes.
Yeah.
5-7 years down the line, things are going to be a lot clearer. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be, and we're going to have the same reactions to it now that we did back then, where we're like, oh my god, that's so ridiculous looking. Look at that thing. That's so fun.
I can't wait. I'm waiting. I'm anxiously waiting for Rabbit to ship me my R1. Yeah, right. Like, I want to get my hands on.
I am, and I'm also prepared to be disappointed by it.
Fair. Yeah. But
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I just think it's cool. Like, the phone a friend thing looks silly, but like, that looks cool. I want to get my hands on it, right? The Humane Pin, I want to get my hands on it. I want to play with it. I want to see what it looks like. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so I know we're running long. We still got a bunch more to go through. But Will, was there anything else at MWC that you saw that was worth talking about or interesting that we didn't touch on yet?
I mean, the concept stuff was really what I was focused on. There were a bunch of actual like new phones, or at least new on a global market, right? Like Honor was there, Xiaomi was there. I'm very jealous of some of that stuff. Just again, like I said, from a camera perspective, like I would love to see some of that. The OnePlus Watch 2 launched. Yep. That is a bizarre gadget. I didn't review it, but I was around 7 people reviewing it,
Jason's
and I was
got it.
Like,
"Jason's got it on his website now, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's Jason. I need to ask you, how many egg tarts have you burned today, calorie wise? How many slices of pizza?
Wait, what?
So
what are you talking about?
So in O Health. Which is, of course, the OnePlus Health app. It will tell you on the watch, like, congratulations, like, you've burned 800 calories today. That's 3 egg tarts.
I'm not really getting many of these notifications. Definitely not egg tarts.
That is the thing. If it's like my fitness app will tell me that I lifted X number of pounds, and that's equal to 3 elephants or something. I think it's kind of like that feeling. Like, you can. Yeah. It's like a positive reinforcement thing.
It puts it in real tangible things, exactly. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yes, like, 3 egg tarts. You can have 3, not this. Yeah. If you want.
I've been hung up on egg tarts because it's such a like
specific thing.
How specific?
I was like, okay. Sure.
I wonder
guys.
If that, like, plays more to like an international audience.
It does.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Definitely why it's there. Yeah. It's that and sometimes it'll say serve like 1 serving of fries, and I'm like, I don't know what that means.
What's like, one serving of fries, right?
1 fry?
Yeah.
Is small, medium, large, extra large, 5 fries, 10 fries, 20 wedges. What is it?
Exactly.
Oh man.
You know, the really important things.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of international audience, maybe that's a good segue to, and we don't have to spend a huge amount of time on this because I literally just got it yesterday, but I have the Nothing Phone 2A that was delivered to me yesterday. I have it right here.
Very cool.
And actually, I also have with me the Nothing Phone 2. Oh. Which, and I don't know if this webcam's going to do
now
an
you're
okay
just,
job.
Now you're just bragging. The Nothing Phone.
But you can kind of see that they're like the same size.
Nothing Phone 2A with the camera, it looks like a robot. Right? Like with the horizontal, with the horizontal camera bump and where it is in the circle, it looks like a Battlestar Galactica or like, robot.
So. They definitely resemble eyes when they're centered around the little circular.
You know what
it reminds me of
the Gyro Robot from Nintendo Entertainment System when we were kids.
Oh, okay.
Remember that? Yeah, that's what
except it's got its intestines spilling out underneath it. It's like the Gyro Robot with its intestines spilling out. So the 2A, this one is actually $349 because it is the 12 gigs of storage, 256. 12 gigs of memory, 256 gigs of storage. There we go. But the 2A has kind of a plastic build as opposed to the glass that you have on the 2. That's a pretty standard replacement when you're kind of revving down on the spec list, right? But it still has, as you saw, kind of like the see-through design. Kind of hard to show because I ended up getting the dark gray. I actually did get this direct from nothing. They sent me this phone. It's funny. They actually sent me... like they ran out of units to ship out, like the normal ones that are all boxed up and everything. I can't remember what they called it, but it's basically like a production unit. And when I got it, it was encased with those stealth like plastic phone cases that you see in photos of like, oh, I caught someone on the street. You know, I think it's the Pixel 8. And it, you know, meanwhile, it's like in this like plastic case. Ooh, that's loud.
Sorry.
Yes. Well, yes. And so I did like an unstealthing of it because the only way that I could get to the phone was to find the screw head that actually fit the very particular and specific tiny little screws that hold this thing together and really work it apart. It took me a while to actually get into but it was fun. It was like, okay, cool. Like, you know, it'll be a journey of discovery. So anyways, inside MediaTek Dimensity 7200 Pro. So I'm curious about the processor, going to put that through its paces. I don't expect, obviously, that it's, you know, like premium flagship processor quality because it's not. But I want to see what it's capable of. 6.7-inch AMOLED. The display actually can ramp between 30 to 120 hertz. So it doesn't go all the way down to 1 hertz. But I feel like that's reasonable. Like, you know, maybe you're not going to get as much battery savings out of it if you're reading text and all you really need is 1 hertz refresh, but whatever. I think it's pretty reasonable. 1300 nits, IP54. So you probably don't want to go nuts, you know, in the rain with this thing. 5,000 milliamp hour battery, which is pretty large. I feel like, considering, you know, the price category, $350. No wireless charging. So if you love your wireless charging, you're not going to get it on this, but it does have a 45 watt wired charging capability. So it charges pretty fast. And then real quick, because again, we don't need to spend a huge amount of time on it, but I do want to point out the Glyph interface. So basically, it, instead of having on the Nothing 2, you got all these different areas where you can imagine, I don't have it powered on right now, where you can imagine those kind of lighter strips are all LEDs and part of the Glyph interface of the Nothing 2 and the Nothing 1, actually, of all Nothing phones, is kind of like an LED lighting system that you can use for like notification and general flashiness for different things. And the 2A does have it, but it's a lot more pared down. It's got one strip right there. It's got one little one right there. And then it's got one rounding out here, but this is like multiple steps. So, you know, the example that they like to use is when you're waiting for an Uber, this light will go from full to empty depending on where the Uber is. Is it close to you? Then it'll be emptier, which I think is a really funny use case for this stuff, if I'm completely honest. But anyway, so that's what that light enables, is things like that, or a countdown timer or that sort of thing. In the US, it is only available through the Nothing Developer Program, which is what they did with the original Nothing phone. So I wouldn't consider this necessarily a phone that you can get freely in the US the way that you actually can get the Nothing Phone 2. I think it's a much wider release with the Nothing Phone 2. But the 2A, you can get it through the developer program. I'm not certain, because I haven't tested it yet, how that impacts kind of the bands, the frequency bands that we rely upon here. I asked the Nothing representative, you know, like, what is the impact there? And they said, no, it should work, you know, just the same in the US as anywhere else. Yeah, there you go. Nothing Phone 2A.
I believe it's only 5G on T-Mobile, and I think you can use it on 4G and on Verizon and AT&T.
Okay, and that would actually make sense, because I told her, like, I'm going to be using this on T-Mobile. And so she did say, yeah, I think you'll be fine.
You're good to go.
I'm good to go. But if you're on one of the other
networks. You, Jason, are good to go.
Me and all of my T-Mobile you know, cohorts.
Yeah.
But people on Verizon, you know, some of the other networks, you might not get the full speeds. And that's probably part of the reason why they're doing it through the developer program. But I will say, like, from a build quality standpoint, like, you know, sometimes the difference between glass and plastic, and you can really feel a difference. And you know, I don't really feel much of a difference. Like, and looking at them, they're pretty close. Like, yeah, I think it's, you know, so far so good.
Good price,
but literally got it yesterday. So yeah.
Good price, yeah. Though. Jeez, I love those low cost mid rangers. I love them.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the real story here is when you're in the $300 to $400 price bracket, when you are firmly in that mid range, you're looking to save money. You have to make a choice as far as what you're willing to sacrifice in order to get there, because you will have to sacrifice something when you're comparing it to a premium smartphone. And I think in the case of the Nothing phone, like, I'm sure I'm going to figure out, you know, what those sacrifices are. Is it the camera? Is it the processor? But what you get out of the Nothing phone 2A is you get this like stylish, doesn't look like anything sort of device, which a lot of other phones in this price category all kind of have that similar kind of, you know, mid-rangey look and feel. They aren't very impressive to look at. They're just like, yeah, they're serviceable. Yeah. They have benefits in other ways, but the design is rarely like cutting edge. And I think that's what you're paying for here. You know what I mean? So what is the trade-off that gets you that? That's what I have to find out.
Cool.
So yeah, Nothing phone 2A.
There you makes go. Sense. Insert Nothing jokes about nothing. Yada, yada.
Something from nothing. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Let's take this home. We got some app news to quickly touch upon. Yeah. Windows folks, this pertains to you. Windows 11 Android support has an end date. And mark your calendars. It is in 1 year from today, March 5th, 2025. Microsoft announced its plans to deprecate the Windows subsystem for Android. And this is actually what enabled the Amazon App Store to run Android apps on Windows 11 since 2021. Already installed apps will continue to work, so you won't lose access to them. Newly installed apps will no longer be done via the Microsoft Store. So this is...
Well, I think you did a review of this that made me smile.
Yeah,
a while ago.
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago when it first like really came out. I have not stuck with using Android apps on Windows. So like, part of me is like, I'm surprised that they are fully killing it off. But at the same time, like, it doesn't seem like something they ever really built out. Like, when was the last time you really thought about Android apps on Windows 11?
Yeah.
You know, like, I forget they're there. And to be honest, like, a lot of what I do is already in the web anyway. And so, like, exactly. A lot of the stuff that I would want from an app is probably, it's just like, well, I'll just open up a new tab. It's fine. You know, like, I reserve dedicated apps for stuff like Photoshop, right? Like, yep. You know, push all, and even then, like, they're you can edit photos in the browser. But yeah, I don't know. It's, it never quite got the like attention I think it needed to fully be a thing anyone wanted to use regularly. And then on top of it, like, I think just like relying on the Amazon App Store, there's just not enough apps there, and they're not kept up to date enough. I think that's really the 1-2 punch.
And you got to imagine that Microsoft has those usage numbers and they know who's using it.
Exactly. I imagine they're pretty low.
Yeah. So,
I mean, all along with features like that, when it was like, you know, run Android apps on your Windows PC, that's like how many, you know, millions upon millions of apps that you now have access to. And I like, it never really worked for me. Like, yeah. I don't personally see the value in it. Cause like you said, Will, so much of this stuff anyways is found on the web. If it's like services, you're probably going to find one that's more tailor-made for your desktop, you know, through a web service, because that's what they're designed to kind of work within. And then games, like, maybe, but I don't know. It never quite sat with me that there would be this large rush of people looking to do this. And I think this is just kind of proof of that.
All right.
There weren't.
So what about YouTube, Jason?
Excuse me. Picture in Picture is the story of YouTube right now. Apparently, so this was a feature that was available for everyone, and then I think removed at some point from everyone and isolated to just premium subscribers. Then in 2022, it was activated. In 2022. Yes, that's right. 2022 is when they basically kind of opened it up at least here in the US, so that people who were not premium subscribers could enjoy Picture in Picture, which is kind of like the overlay of the video playing on top of the other app that you happen to be using. And I actually use that feature pretty regularly, and I am not a premium subscriber. And Google has been promising to bring this feature to a worldwide release in this capacity. And in recent weeks, some international users have been noticing that the feature is working for them, though it hasn't been officially announced. And it is not, I should say, working for everyone internationally, but it is working for some. So I guess that's kind of an indication that it's near or happening, or someone messed up. I don't know what the answer is.
Take your pick.
Yeah, one of those things. Yep.
Well, Picture in Picture used to be like, I remember it used to be, you remember they used to have commercials for TVs that had Picture in Picture, so you could watch and watch anything else.
Well, two shows at the same time.
Exactly. So it's an inherently TV feature to me, but you know, we have other features coming to TVs, and particularly Google TV. It's not really a new feature, but your apps, are getting a makeover in Google TV. There is like a Your Apps row if you have Google TV, and basically they're just redesigning it to make better use of the real estate. It's going to have smaller circular app icons, take up the space. You're going to have free channels, which is like everything from local news to movies and sports. So you'll always be able to find something to watch, even if you're rebelling against the, you know, streaming service renaissance. What's a more negative word than renaissance? I don't know. If you just don't feel like paying for all the streaming services, you want some free TV, you're going to get it. And more importantly, and something that we're going to do is utilize the reordering and add apps feature to the Your Apps row, which is just very needed because, again, we don't have too many of those streaming services. So we're just going to shuffle those all to the back or off the edge of the fold. So anyway, if you've got a Google TV and you've really wanted to like just have more and have it in the order you want, gonna get that soon.
So, all this stuff is coming to Google TV, we sat down to watch TV the other night, and I was like, let me just check to see if I have an update on my Google TV. And sure enough, it's like, yes. So I sat on the couch and forced my wife to gasp, just chat with me while it updated, and went through the whole update thing, restarted, and I was like, I wonder what we're gonna get. And
oh no,
nothing. It looked exactly the same.
I think Google, there's like a Google.
I think something. I got blacklisted or something. I'm on Circle Search and I'm new Google TV stuff. Yeah, we'll see. So.
Oh no. Google, please help.
All right.
Please help, Ron.
Interesting.
All right. Well, we're close to the end of the show. Now is the time where we want to hear from you, the audience. Quick reminder, you can email us at contact@androidfaithful.com. We love to hear from you. Please send your emails in. If you have Bugdroid AI generated images, send them in. We'll use them on the show. Email us. We'd love to hear from you all. And our first email comes from Yannick in Montreal, Canada. And he said, longtime AAA listener and happy AF listener here. In a recent episode, someone asked if there was a way to get the volume to adjust automatically when connecting to different Bluetooth devices. Tasker and other automation tools were mentioned, but I wanted to say that I've been using a dedicated app made for this purpose for years, simply called Bluetooth Volume Manager. And with Bluetooth Volume Manager, you can set different volumes for different Bluetooth devices, and it will adjust the volume when your phone connects to the device. That way, you can have the volume full blast in your car, but lower in your headphones. Thanks for the great show every week. Yannick from Montreal, Canada. And he sent along the Google Play Store link, so you could see Bluetooth Volume Manager, and the little icons got the Bluetooth icon with the volume slider on there in the Google Play Store. When was it last updated? That's always the question.
Good question. September 10th, 2023.
Yeah, so still in active development. So
And that was Blake from Corpus Christi, Texas, who had that problem last month. So yep. Blake, if you're listening.
Yes, there's your answer. Bluetooth Volume Manager. I love it when we don't have the answer, you all write in with the answer, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. It's so great. Yep. You guys do our work for us. Thank you.
Apparently, that was an old All About Android Arena app from Cousin John.
How many apps did we have in the
thousands?
The arena?
Wow, y'all.
Yes. Yeah. So pardon us for not remembering.
Can we feed it into AI and then we can ask AI, was this app featured on App Arena?
Let me tell you, for many years, I installed an insane number of apps on my phone. I've definitely slowed down on that one, too.
For sure.
Not rooting and ramen as much, not installing as many apps as, you know, as I used to also.
Shucking and jiving, rooting and ramen.
Robert Freimering wrote in to say, here, let's see here. Oh, there we go. Wrote an email to contact at androidfaithful.com to say I had a routine set up in the default clock app on Android and noticed lately the routine hasn't been starting. I checked my alarm and routine is gone. There's only an option for weather. The default clock app. Tried making a new alarm, but no option to add a routine. I didn't see anything about the clock or alarm in the assistant settings. Any idea what happened? Did I miss something? If you're curious, my routine was turn on a light in the room and update on the weather. Yeah, I'm super curious about that.
So I texted Michelle on his birthday to see if he knew about this, and he hadn't heard anything either. I did. Yeah. Wynn, if you've got your Pixel Fold handy, go look on the clock and on an alarm. I checked on my clock app, and routines is not available. I thought maybe it was related to the fact that I had Gemini installed, and was there some Gemini assistant nonsense happening? So I uninstalled Gemini. Routines did not show up. If you go into the clock app and then go into an alarm, where is my clock app? Yeah, go into the settings for an alarm. And there at the bottom of it, you've got, you know, pause alarm, sound, vibrate, weather forecast, and then that's it. No more routines.
I still got Google Assistant routine. Sorry, you can't see it, but I still have Google Assistant routine on mine.
Fascinating.
So, let me click on it, see what happens. Yeah, it's sending me into the wizard for it.
So I wonder if it's because I installed Gemini, did that do something to it? So I don't have it.
That's a good point.
I don't have it. Robert doesn't have it. Wynn, you have it. Will, you're nodding. So
I don't have Gemini, so. Yeah.
I would be curious to see if Robert had installed Gemini and like if that lines up with when this started happening.
Yep. Interesting. Some folks in the chat saying that they have it as well. So I don't know. I don't know how to get it back because I thought uninstalling Gemini put everything back to Assistant the way it was, but maybe you need to clear cache or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So if anybody has if you have Gemini and then got rid of it and got it back, email us at contact@androidfaithful. Let us know. So,
yes, indeed.
All right. And of course, if you have any questions or anything, you always email us. We'd love to hear from you. Will, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a couple hours on this Tuesday night. We appreciate it. You're awesome. So,
yeah, no, thank you guys for having me. This was a lot of fun.
So why don't you tell folks if they want to hear more from the world of Will, where can they find you?
androidpolice.com. I'm all things phones there. If I didn't write it, I probably edited it. So it's got my fingerprints on it somehow. And then the Android Police podcast, if you want to hear more of my voice, it's me and Daniel Bader right now. So if you guys miss like old school Android Central podcast, like he's still doing it. It's just with me and I'm taunting him into talking about, you know, movies instead of phones sometimes, or the philosophical side of AI. I don't know. We get weird on that podcast sometimes. It's a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Right on.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work over there, and we appreciate it. That's for sure. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So Jason, what's the latest from Yellow Gold Studios, my friend? You've been busy.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I challenged myself and I said, all right, every week I got to put up a video. And let me tell you, it's hard to put up a video every week, like a fully edited video. But anyways, just go to yellowgoldstudios.com. It's where I am putting, you know, like the last one I put up was a OnePlus Watch 2 versus the original, playing around with some shorts. The other day, Ron was like, hey, Jason, you doing any shorts on your channel? I said, no, not really. He's like, you better. You should. And I was like, okay. And so I started doing that. And, I'm just learning about the YouTube thing. It's been a really interesting journey. Also have all of our episodes of AI Inside appearing there. So just go to yellowgoldstudios.com and you can find all that stuff. And yeah, I'd appreciate it if you do that. Thank you, Ron.
Awesome. You're doing great work. I love the shorts.
Thank you.
It's good stuff.
Appreciate it.
All right, Wynn, where can folks find you?
You can find me on my website, randomlytyping.com, where I talk about Android dev stuff because that is my day job. You can find technical talks that I do, including associated code and video, and find me on probably Instagram, maybe one day again, Mastodon and other things like that at Queen Code Monkey. And I just want to say, well, I'm so glad to have you back on the show. I think you were like my first like guest when I started hosting AAA. I just remember
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Like that you were on February 8th, 2022, and I started January, and you were like our first guest. So I, you know, so anyway, just really glad to have you back and here having on the new show. So anyway.
This is so, it's so full circle. I have in that time started doing the AP podcast and now feel much more at home and talking about this.
You were great then.
Thanks a lot.
So, yeah, I did. Yeah. I mean, I hadn't even been at AP for a year the last time I was on you guys. So, and now it's been literally three years and 10 days. So yeah, it's been a long time.
Cool. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back.
Yeah.
I'm here. Absolutely. I'm here trying to get the clock. I have to give me routines. And I really think I'm really going to bet because some people in the chat were like, try, you know, so I've removed Gemini. I'm on Google Assistant and it's still not there. So I really want Robert to listen to this and to write in and let us know if he had Gemini installed. Cause I think that's what did it. So, all right. And for me, when I'm not messing with my clock app or enjoying Will's work at Android Police, you can go find me on all the various socials at RonXO across the board. Just that's where I am. So you'll find me. Instagram is probably I'm the most busiest. So cool. Excellent. Let's go to wrap it up for this week's show. Again, thank you to Will for joining us. Wishing Michelle a happy birthday. This podcast publishes every Tuesday evening. We live stream on Daily Tech News Show's YouTube channel and over on twitch.tv/goodday internet. We live stream every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can find everything at androidfaithful.com. Links to subscribe, links to support, links to Patreon, all the fun stuff. It's all there at androidfaithful.com. We love doing the show. We love that you enjoyed us doing the show. We love the world of Androids. So let's keep it up because there's just so much to talk about because we are the Android Faithful. So there you go. Have a great week, everybody. See you next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.